We're doing the Sefer Masiyot, and our sages said that whenever something happens to us, we have to give thanks, as the verse says, Chesed u'mishpat ashira. Be it if Hashem does kindness with us, we give song, Chesed ashira. Be it mishpat, when God just does justice with us, and he holds us to the line of exacting justice, either way, King David says, we give song. And the Sefer Masiyot continues and says, our sages held us responsible that if we see someone righteous who's suffering or someone wicked who has it good, then a person shouldn't destroy his thoughts. As the verse says, don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. And don't say before the angel, ultimately, it was all in error. And the verse says, everything is for naught, for we cannot speak. Meaning, King Solomon is saying, God already worked very hard to set up a world. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to God, Hodieni ne'at rechecha, let me understand your ways. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu also had trouble understanding this. The prophet Habakkuk said before God, till when will I call and you won't answer? And he saw a vision of prophecy. He saw the 10 martyrs. And he says to God, why? Why do you save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? And you don't save these tremendously pious people? Rabbi Akiva is skinned to death. Why Habakkuk questions before his creator? And the Navi says before Hashem, Al ken tafug Torah. When things like this happen, so the grasp on Torah is weakened. People are weakened when they see the righteous suffering like that. And we have a we have a Midrash that says that the Navi Habakkuk, when he questioned, he said, how could it be that the wicked king Belshazzar, the wicked king of Babylon, is going to dress Daniel with royal clothing? Well, who is he? Why should he be the one to decide that Daniel gets to wear royal clothing? How can it be that the defiled Achashverosh appoints Mordechai? Mordechai is pure and he has to wait for Achashverosh to give him a position. How could it be that Rasha Machtiret HaTzadik, as the Navi Habakkuk said, how could it be that the wicked are those that crown the righteous? God answers Habakkuk and says, it says in the Torah, Eile muna ve'en avel. Don't try to understand that which is beyond your perception. The Torah says, trust me, I don't do anything wrong. And then the Navi concludes his prophecy in Habakkuk, Tfila l'Habakkuk ha-Navi al shigyonot, a prayer over his errors. But you see that Habakkuk said, how could it be, Hashem, tacharish, that you are silent, bivalal rasha tzadik miminu, that the wicked consume those that are more pious than them? And the Talmud points out, notice that it doesn't say the wicked swallow up those that are pious. It says, those that are more pious than them. Had he been a perfect tzaddik, not just more pious than the other one, he wouldn't have gotten away with it. Then the wicked would not have been able to consume him. And so we find the prophet in Asaf, in Tehillim, he also says, Ad matai reshaim Hashem, ad matai reshaim ya'alozu. Till when, Hashem, will you allow the wicked? Till when will they continue to rejoice? And that's why King Solomon says, Lo tisba ayin lirot. Our eye is never satiated from seeing. As much as you see, you don't have the answers. Meaning, on the one hand, he gave us different angles to understand it. And at the end of the day, he says, you have to realize that you're not going to understand everything God does in this world. And so, my brother, he says, watch your soul. And don't pursue things that are beyond your capacity to understand. And if you try, don't talk too much about this, because you might end up just finding yourself completely dejected. What's going on? You don't know what's going on. You're not the first one to wonder what's going on. And this takes us back to our first two classes in the basics of Judaism. That we have to come to a realization Hashem is running the world. After we come to a realization He's running the world and He's fair and He's honest, then we come to the details of the world and we say, hey, you promised me a boy. You told me he's the future of civilization and now you're telling me to slaughter him? I don't know what you want from me. But the greatness of Avram is that he never asked. He doesn't understand. If you ask Avram Avinu, what is God planning? He doesn't have an answer. That's the greatness of Avram Avinu. That's Vayamin Bashem. We said, what's the balance between knowing and believing? I have to know and understand the basic concepts of Judaism. Now when I get to the details, I have issues. I don't understand how it plays itself out. Once I've recognized He created the world, He's running the world, this is what He wants of me. But I don't understand. How could this? Well, why does He want that of me? Why do I have to eat kosher? I live out in New Zealand. I don't have kosher meat, so does God want me to be a vegetarian? So maybe now I don't have a choice. So why does God do that to me? I don't know why God does that to me. Why did He tell me to eat only kosher meat? I don't know. I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't have all the answers. But if I figured out the basics, and I do know the basics, and I've understood the basics, that's where emunah comes in. That's where faith comes in. After I've worked out the logic of all the basics, the fact that I don't have answers for everything else in the picture, that's where we talk about faith. There's understanding. You got to understand the basis. You have to learn and understand. And after you've come to an understanding, the fact that life poses a million questions at you, those are levels of greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't perfect in this. Our sages say that God said to Moshe, I missed the other ones, Moshe. You're not as good as the forefathers. When I tested them, they didn't even ask. You're asking. Why shouldn't he ask? What was happening? God told him, go take the Jews out of Egypt. He comes, and the next thing that happens, the Egyptians are beating them. Jews are being crippled because Paro told them to go and collect hay from the fields, and they're going to collect hay, and the Egyptian owners of the field walk into their field. They see a Jew in their field. They start beating them with clubs, and as the Medrash says, Jews would be crawling home at night, covered with blood, because the Egyptians were beating them with clubs when they try to go and collect hay from their fields. So Moshe says, God, you told me to do this. Yeah, but God told him it wouldn't work. Yeah, I understand you told me it wouldn't work, but you didn't tell me that the Jews would be clubbed like this. For what? Then why'd you send me now? Why didn't you send someone else? Obviously, I'm not good enough. So if you don't understand, you're asking. So then we have a problem. Hashem says, you'll see. So we see there's a level where Hashem says, you don't understand, and you won't understand. But it's not easy. It wasn't easy for Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't easy for Chavakuk, and they were greater than us. So he warns us. He says, if you try to explore this too much, you should know you might end up feeling very dejected, because you won't have answers. And that's one of the great answers of the book of Eov, where God says to Eov, what do you understand about what I did in this world? The end of the book is a whole long speech where God says, explain to me, is there anything you do understand? Where have you been all these years? I've been running the show, and where have you been? Somehow there's a lot of creation I've done in this world which you didn't partake of. So now there you want to understand how I run the world? You don't. So he says, I want to mention stories of the righteous that Hashem did choose to make them wealthy. Meaning, although his book is going to be a book of encouragement and describing to us how there were those who Hashem did give good payback in this world for what they did, he nonetheless is beginning with a recognition that that's not the way it always plays itself out. And very often you're going to see things that make you wonder, why is that guy suffering so? Why is it that the guy seems to be so wicked and so successful at the same time? But I want to give you stories about people who were successful when they were righteous, he says. People who worked extra hard to honor a specific mitzvah or mitzvahs in general, and people who went beyond the call of duty, where they didn't have to go as far as they did, and even so Hashem paid them back in this world. And you'll find this most often when it comes to acts of kindness to one's fellow man. As the Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim she'adam ochel pirotehem ba'olam hazeh. The following are things where you benefit from them in the world, in this world. But the prime roots are waiting for the world to come. You just get a little bit of the crops in this world, some of the fruits. As the story goes about Rabbi Chiya, we have the following story in the Talmud in Shabbos. that Rabbi Yechiyo once was a guest by a certain man in the city of Kaputkia, and Friday night came and they brought before him a gold table with 13 chains of gold. And on the table he saw bowls and spoons that were made of the finest gold, and they were also shaped in the finest shapes. And on the bowls he saw all kinds of delicious food. And when they put the table before them, so his host said a fantastic line. And that's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next time.